So, in the first of our shiur, Manahasen Merubah, we talked about the fact that we are makil for Hafsa Merubah, and we talked about why it is a halachic factor, and we gave the different sources. We talked about the issue of Ufino Esabayas in Negoyim, we talked about the sources in Menachos, the ones in the two examples that are found in Yuma, the example in Rosh Hashanah. We talked about as well the question of for what categories of halacha will be makil in a case of hefsed merubah. We talked about the double derabanan, the suffix derabanan, the known derabanan, the deoraisa. And then the last bit was how we define hefsed merubah, and the Nachla Shiva's attempt to provide an objective standard, the alternatives that it's based on the percentage of loss of the item, and the general sense that it's about the circumstances of the person involved. That brings us to this week, which is particular applications of Hefsed Merubah. And you can see on the sheets that I gave you, we're going to start out with the question of whether Hefsed Merubah is each item individually or the collective loss. So the classic case, the one that Ramosha said that we started, that triggered this discussion ages ago, was the question of a set of dishes in which all the dishes have been through the same experience. Each individual dish is not a great loss. However, the set as a whole would be Hefsed Merubah. So does that count as Hefsed Merubah? So in order to get this, we need to look at a couple of Gemaras. So take a look, please, on the sheets that I sent out. Hefsed Merubah Gimel. The source Aleph is the first one, the Gemara in Psachim Chavav. Tanur Rabbanan, Braisa says, Tanurshi siko beklipe arla o bekashin shalkile hakerem. If you have an oven that you fueled with either arla skins, from which you're not allowed to benefit, or straw from kile hakerem, also you're not allowed to benefit from. So chadash, if it's brand new, yutatz, then you have to destroy the oven. The oven has to be destroyed. Yashan, on the other hand, if it's an old oven already, Yutzan, then just let it cool off. Don't benefit from the heat of that firing. And I brought you Rashi in Source Bays explaining, when you're dealing with a new oven, the first time that the oven is fired, it actually completes the oven and makes it usable. And therefore, the oven has been completed by an Isser Hana, that from which you're not allowed to benefit, and therefore it's off limits, you have to destroy it. Whereas if you're dealing with Yashan, if you're dealing with an old oven, then it's already been fired before, then the rule is just let it cool off so that you don't benefit from this firing. That's Rashi on the Gemara in Imsachim. On this, you get a rod in Source Gimel that's going to be important for us soon, so we might as well take a look at it now. The Ron writes, V'chi Tema, you might ask, in Cain, he's building on a discussion about Zeva Zegorim. So he says, the line before this, he has suggested that Zeva Zegorim is Mutter, that when you have multiple causes for an end result, and one result, one cause is an Usser cause, and one cause is a Mutter cause, the ultimate result is Mutter. So he says, if so, then Yashan Amayutzan, why do I say that if it's an old oven, you have to let it cool off? Da'ika zevezegorim, you have multiple causes for your ultimate cooking experience. Tanur dehetera, the oven which was mutter going in. Ve'itzim de'isura, and the current fuel, that's aser. So why do I say that you have to let the oven cool off? So he says, Yesh lomar dechiamrinan zevezegorim mutter hani mili di'eved. So he says, maybe zevezegorim is only mutter in a bidi'eved situation. And requiring that I bring new fuel and fuel the oven again, that's fundamentally not a bidi'eved situation. It's not the end of the world. Even though, technically, it's bidi'eved from a chronology standpoint, this has already been done, that's not sufficient to justify zevezegorim mutter. V'achi mucha b'avodah zarah, he says, take a look at avodah zarah mimtes. Aval b'chadash, but if it's a new oven, lo amrina yutatz. Then, in fact, we will not say demolish the oven. The kevan delesle takanta ela benetitza, since there's no way that you're going to be able to use the oven other than by breaking it. Right? Kidi'eved dami, we treat it like bidi'eved. So there, I would rely on zevezegorim to say mutter. I would not break the oven. I would say mutter in the case of the oven,
as opposed to
the case of the new the old oven, where you're only telling me to fire it, so there's no big loss. It's just the loss of the fuel. That's not called sufficient enough loss. This is another version of Hefsid.
Is it? So the Gemara says Chadashutan.
Correct.
Gemara, or what's the
right, so the Ran here is further along.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The right. He's not following, obviously, a Yuchat's line in the Gemara.
Okay. If you use the Klipe Orla to finish the oven.
Yeah.
Then that's done. Like, you can't. Then it's.
There's, well, that's the thing. The Gemara's only recommendation was break the oven.
So that's not necessary.
So he's saying, but no, it's, because it's Hefsid Merubah.
Even though forever now it's going to be a treif oven that you're cooking for the next 1,000 times.
Exactly. But because it's not, because it's Zevizeh Gorim.
But if it's kosher oven, you made it kosher and you just haven't heated it up once with treif, then just let it cool down and start again.
Yeah. The so take a look at Dalet now. That's one. That was all one Gemara about ovens. Source Dalet is a Gemara at the end. Well, not the end, but later in Chulin. Kiyasa Ravin Amr of Yochanan Maliach Eino Kiroteach Lekavush Eino Kemavushal. Ravin comes from Eretz Yisrael and he quotes of Yochanan to say that salted items are not considered as though they had been boiled together. As though it's hot. And items that are pickled together are not as though they've been cooked together. Right? We don't hold this way, but that's the statement. Amar Abaye, Hadi Ravin Lesa, and Abaye says, I disagree with what Ravin says, it's not so. Why? Dei Pincha, because there was a Pincha. The Pincha I added in brackets from Rashi is Ka'ara Shalcheres. It's a pottery kli. Dehava Be Rabbi Ami, it was in Rabbi Ami's yeshiva or in his house. De Malach Be Bisra, they had used it to salt meat. Vitavre, and he broke it. So he says, I don't understand. Michti Rabbi Ami Talmud Rabbi Yochanan Havo. Rabbi Ami is a student of Rabbi Yochanan. My time at Tavre. Why did he break it? You're telling me Rabbi Yochanan says Maliach Eino Kiroteach. So why did he break it? Lav Mishum Dishmiya Le Mined Rabbi Yochanan Damar Maliach Areyu Kiroteach. Obviously, it's because he learned from Rabbi Yochanan that Maliach is Kiroteach, right? So there, the Ran makes the following comment in source Hay. We learn from here, did no Saint Tam Livgam lechatchila aser, that no Saint Tam Livgam, if the taste is a negative taste, it's still going to be aser lechatchila. No Saint Tam Livgam as a heter is only bidiyavet. Deilo, because otherwise, amai tavra. Why did he break the thing? Lishiyei ad lamachar. David, no Saint Tam Livgam. Why not just say, wait till tomorrow, and then it'll be no Saint Tam Livgam. So obviously that only works. B'diavad elashma minad lechatchila aser. He says the only reason you have to break this pottery clay is because we're not willing to do no Saint Tam Livgam, right? Because that no Saint Tam Livgam is only for a b'diavad case. So what did the Ran not do here? That he did regarding the oven. The Ran did not say breaking this clay is a b'diavad. Right? The Ran says that we don't say here that you should. The Ran says that we don't say here go with no Saint Tam Lifgam, because no Saint Tam Lifgam is only for Bidiyevet situations. When it came to the oven, he was willing to say that's a Bidiyevet. And therefore, we'll rely on Zevizeh Gori Mutter. When it comes to the pottery kli, he's not willing to say this is Bidiyevet and we'll rely on no Saint Tam Lifgam. Right? So the question is, why is it in one case breaking something was a bidiyavid, and in the other case breaking something is not a bidiyavid? Now, perhaps if Rav Baruch was here for the shir, he would argue that the Ran in neither case actually mentioned the word hefsid. Maybe there's some other bidiyavid thing involved. But all the poskim who deal with this, or I saw deal with this at any rate, all do in the context of hefsid. They all view this as a hefsid bidiyavid. But we need to know those two Rans, or words of the Ran. And then we need one last Gemara in Source Vav, and then we'll be ready to go into Rabbi Akiva Eger. The last one that you need to see is this Gemara in Source Vav, also from Sachem. Amar Rav Kederos B'Pesach Yishaveh. Rav says that Chametz pots have to be broken before Pesach. So Ve'amai, so the Gemara says, why? Lishinu achar Pesach. Why not let them wait till after Pesach is over, right? And just use them for something that's an eino mino, and then we'll have bittul of whatever was absorbed inside of the walls of the pots. So he says, no, gezeira dilma asu lemeavet behu b'mino. No, because what's going to happen is you may end up doing a mino with it after Pesach. You're telling me you're going to hold off, you're going to hold your chametz pot from before Pesach until after Pesach. The result is going to be that you'll end up using it for something of the same type as that which is absorbed in the walls from before Pesach. And there's no mino, and there's no bittel. Yeah.
Another side point, but don't we generally assume that there isn't shishim connected with what's in the tree itself?
That there is not shishim, maybe because it's a kedera, it's of a size that you would.
Tomorrow we assume that there isn't shishim when it comes to tree.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting question, yeah.
I don't understand why this we can leave it over, since there's a little bit of taste and then use it afterwards. There's a little bit of taste found in the walls. Why don't we have the problem of that we have a little bit of chametz still in our... That's why we have to break it.
It's from before Pesach for after Pesach.
But you're still leaving it over Pesach without selling them.
Yeah, but as long as you don't use it, you're okay. This is within that view, in general, that you're okay.
So you're saying for that view that you're allowed to have within your walls of your vessel, you're saying?
Yeah. So Shmuel Amar Lo Yishavru, and Shmuel says no, they should not be broken. Avamashi Lulachar Zmano, you just leave it till after Pesach. Va'avavu Bein Bamino Bein Shelo Bamino, and Shmuel says there's no problem in general with chametz after Pesach. And that leads into the line which we quoted, I think, last week in Shmuel, or 2 weeks ago, in which Shmuel says to the merchants of the Kalim that if you don't be careful, I'm going to tell everybody that actually chametz after Pesach is fine. And therefore their kalim, they can keep all of their kalim, right? Shmuel warns them, you better be fair in your prices. Why didn't he say that anyway? Because it was the land of Rav. That was why we saw last week, with 2 weeks ago. But now we're ready for Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger's position is that we gauge not by the collective loss, but by each item. He says, "Vehine." It's in Sur Zayin. He's quoting for this from the questioner. "Vehine lechora yesh sad lahakel al pi mashikas v'menchas Yaakov behefsed meruba yesh lahate bechli cheres lishtamish bo achar meis leis dahavi kidiyevet kevin shuhesed meruba." Okay, he says there is room to be lenient based on the Minchas Yaakov regarding Hefsed Merubah, who said you would be lenient regarding Klicheres to say you could use it once 24 hours have passed because it's Bidiyeved because of Hefsed Merubah. That was the questioner's position. Okay, like the Ran wrote, Kimushkasav Aran Parakol Shah, meaning the first Ran that we saw regarding the oven, that breaking the oven would be Hefsed Merubah. So too, the losing your Klicheres from before Pesach will be Hefsed Merubah. The Gemara in Chulin was talking Klicheres, yes, the Pincha. So we have to get to that run, but yeah. So he says, and that's where we go. That's exactly where we're going with it. Amnam Nira the Gamze Eino. Rabbi Akiva Eger, who has already defeated other claims, says this claim isn't true either. Why? Because this Maharal Bach is not so simple. Dehine Maharal Bach Sham. This Maharal Bach, who he's quoting here. The questioner is quoting and saying, hey, we should be lenient because the Ran said that that breaking the oven would be b'di'eved. He says, the Maharal Bach there, hotzi dvarav, dilechora divrei haran sosrim ahadadi. Maharal Bach came from a position of looking at these two positions of the Ran and saying that they contradict each other. Dibapsachem perakol shoa gabe tanur yutzan kasav, af de zebze gorim lechatchila aser. Right? Regarding the oven, the Ran said, we'll view the requirement of breaking the oven as a b'di'eved situation. V'ilu b'chulin, the second Ran that we saw, kasef haran bahu pincha, right, the klicheres, de tavra, you break it, v'lo ha'shuye me'eis leis, you don't let it wait 24 hours, de nosei tam lefgam lechatchila aser, right? He said, you wait 24 hours, because no Tam Lefgam is only usable as a lechatchila, and this is only usable as a b'diavad, and this is a lechatchila situation. Harei aft b'klicheres, de'ein lo takana, ela shavira, lo havi k'diavad. Right? So that means in the klicheres case, even though the only option you have is breaking the thing, nonetheless, he's willing to say, that's b'diavad. So the Maharal Bach looks at that, and says, what am I supposed to do with these two runs? Right? And I thought that was a simple answer. There's a difference between the loss involved in losing an oven and the loss involved in losing a clay jug. The clay jug, no, okay. Not great, but you'll replace it. The oven is another story. That's the way the Maharal Bach explains the Ran. V'achi dakin and lishna daika lishna de haran parakolsha gabe kederos v'pesach. And he says, you can see that in the Ran, in the Gemara that we just saw here in Pesachim, the one about the pots on Pesach, Shakasa, where the Ran wrote, afa gav de la rav I efshir shal lishbor hakedera. Even though, according to Rav, you're going to end up having to break the pot, afilu achi lo havi kedieved. He will still say it's not bidieved. And he brings proof from our Gemara in Chulin, right? With the Pincha, elavaden, the Pincha ukedera, avagav ditzarech leshovran lav kidieved dami. So what do we see? We see that the Pincha, as well as the kidera for Rav in our Gemara, is not called bidieved. So mididieik from this Pincha ukedera, right? He associates the two. Mashma the road salomar the hanach mishum de ain have said the meruba lab kidieved dami ayin sham. So he says the upshot of this is that the position of the Ran is that the klicheres is not hefsed meruba, right? Whereas the oven is the klicheres, both the kederos before Pesach and the pincha case in chulin. So now he says v'arei bevadai lo nitan lishmoa the kederos for Pesach mayri da. Here, this is where Rabbi Akiva Eger is springing the trap. So this is what you have to watch. He says v'arei bevadai lo nitan lishmoa the kederos for Pesach mayri. He says, you can't tell me that when Rav says that the kederos for Pesach should be broken, right? You can't tell me he's talking about only a case in which someone only has a couple of pots, velo harbe, right? And that's why it's not hefse meruba. He says, don't tell me that that's what he's talking about. Depashta de milsa, kol kederos shakol yimos hashana, yesh ba hefse meruba. Right? It has to be so. You're talking about your year's worth of pots. All the things that you use, you're now breaking before Pesach. He says, you can't tell me that. So what are you going to say? Elavaden, the mikol makom kol kedera bifnei atzma, lo have hefsed meruba al yedei tserufan. The answer is that putting all of these kederos together does not rank as hefsed meruba when you combine them, because hefsed meruba is each kli independently. Virak b'tanur, only when you're dealing with the oven, da'akli ba'atzmo have hefsed meruba, only when you're dealing with the oven, because the oven, in the oven case, the oven itself is valuable. One kli, but not where it's multiples. He then has a bracketed comment, which I brought here, because he expands. Uchmo chen ani mesupak b'kama in yanam de mekilim behefsed meruba. He says, I have the same suffix in many of these kulos for hefsed meruba. Kamo beis boi desmichi b'mayim zachem, which we saw a couple of weeks ago. The animal which has the two bubbles in the lung that are close to each other, or that they're thick. I'm now blanking. The b'mayim zachim with the clear water in matavach shachad beis ogimel behemos v'haya b'kulam beis boi desmichi b'mayim zachim. What do you do if you have this phenomenon in the animal ube'inyan dechad behem aloha behesem aruba, such that if it was only one animal it wouldn't be esem aruba, but you have it in multiple. Rak beis v'gimel have a hefsed meruba. It's only because you have multiple ones that are hefsed meruba. Imzel mikri hefsed meruba. Is that called great loss? Kevin v'kol echad be'atzmo lo have a hefsed meruba, since each one independently is not. Follow? Va'afilu im nidon dehasam mikri hefsed meruba mikomakom yesh l'chalik. And even if you will tell me that in the case where the butcher comes to you and he has three animals and each one has this potential trefa, and if you were to take them collectively, they're hefsed meruba. Even if you were to tell me that in that case it's hefsed meruba, mikol makom yesh lachalek dav kahasam davi sveka didina imu kashero treifa v'samchina behefsed meruba amachshirin. Maybe only in that case will we be lenient, because you have a machlokes in terms of what the din is. You have those who say kasher, and you have those who say treif. And in hefsed meruba case, we're allowed to depend on those who say kasher. Right? Remember we talked about this Rama, who talked about hefsed meruba as being a case in which you have a view that's mekil. And that's really the bottom line law. And it's just that, we normally are machmir, but in a hefsed meruba case, we'll depend on the mekilim. So he says, Mishum hachi, hashta de'ira kin bebeis v'gimel. So now that you have two or three animals like that, de'o kul huksherim, o the kul and trefos, where either all of them are going to be kusher or all they're going to be treif at once, then some chubesim ruval ha-machshirin. Then we'll depend on those who are machshir. Abo hacha. But in our case, le'enyin eno ben yomo, de'enze mikoach safek, in the case he says that we are dealing with, that he's dealing with, it's an Eino Ben Yomo discussion. And there, it's not an issue of some permit Eino Ben Yomo and some prohibit Eino Ben Yomo. Right? There it's that we have a kula for Eino Ben Yomo in a B'di'evet situation. This is the halacha. There are no sfeikavs. It's not that really it's this and then, you know, because v'chomer it's that. The law is, in a b'di'evet situation, we're going to be matir eino ben yomo. So he says, in that case, I'm not willing to call this hefsed meruba. He says, the u'b'chlal hazeh b'di'evet b'chli she'ein lo takana ela b'shvira, included in that also will be the case of a kli that can only be fixed by breaking it. U'l hefsed meruba. Yesh lomar didan and I'll call kli b'fnei atzmo. Then I'll say, no, each kli has to be evaluated on its own. Because each kli, they stands in its prohibited status as a lechatchila. That's the idea. So the ending, after his brackets, he says, benidon didan, in our case, it only has some meruba because he has a set of a whole lot of kelim, lo mikri dievet. It's not b'di'evet, it's like the pots for Pesach. You follow? He says, where, this is Rabbi Akiva Eger's key distinction, where we would permit an iser b'di'evet, each one has to be judged individually. Where it's because we permit by relying on the poskim who are mekil, right, which was the kind of heter that the Rama said in the introduction to Taras Hadas, as well as the Ataras Paz that we saw Yeridea Hay. Then it's about one psak. It's one psak collectively for all of them, and therefore we view the set collectively. So Akiva Eger takes the position that is each item. However, numerous poskim disagree.
When you say the ones that we look collectively, what case is that? When you look at it collectively? When you do, he says you do not.
You looked at it collectively in a case where there's a machlokes, there's a lenient view and there's a strict view, and we are taking, normally we're taking the strict view, but the lenient view is actually the halacha. It's just that we tend to be machmir. So in such a case, where really letter of the law, the halacha is mutter, I'm not going to be machmir and say that you have to gauge by each item. Then I'll say you can go by the collective. The Ksav Sofer, among others, rejects this. I brought you the Ksav Sofer in Source Ches. He quotes the Maharal Bach. I don't know why he loses the base, but he does lose the base. Like, it's not just a typo in the Bar Ilan, it's all over his tshuva. I mean, Maharal Bach is Ben Chaviv. He lost the Ben. But Umashakasa of Maharal Bach, Lachalik Ben Tanur Lekedera, his distinction that he made in the Ran to say, well, the Tanur is Efsim Maruba, the Kedera is not Tamua. He says, that's shocking. Atu Rav, the Kedera, Achas, Amar, Yishover. He has the same question Rabbi Akiva Eger did. That, did Rav say that you only break one pot? Halo, Mestam Kedera, Zopesach, Afilu Harbe. Vilanazan Tor, Lashurin, Bein Harbe, Achim, Agilim, Efsim Maruba. He didn't distinguish. Rav didn't say, well, if there are a lot of pots, then you don't have to break it. If it's small, you know, a small number of pots, then no. He says it can't be. He asks the same question Akiva Eger does, but it takes him to a different conclusion. The Ksav Sofer's conclusion is, in fact, to find a different distinction between the two positions of the Ran. He comes up with a different explanation for the Ran, and does not adopt this idea that we go by each kli b'di'evet. The Das Kedoshim, which is Rav Avram Bichech, who I referred to before, in Mem Zayin Gimel, takes it as a given that many cheap items together are collectively called Hefsin Maruba. The Das Tara, who I've quoted before, Rav Shwadron, from his introduction to Trefos, Lamed Ches, quotes sources supporting the idea of gauging them collectively, assuming that, it's as Rabbi Akiva Eger said, the Ramaz type of a case where there are Mekilim and the Iker is like them. And then we get to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is source test. This is the original shuva that started us on it, the one that talked about the set of dishes for the Baal Shuva. So he writes in source test, Va'asha Hesed Ruba Humach Matsirav Harbe Ka'arufs. Even though Hesed Baruba here is only coming about because you are combining a whole bunch of dishes, De'bechol Kidera Bifnei Atzmo Lohaya Hesed Baruba. Each pot individually would not be Hesed Baruba. It's logical to say that it's Hefzeh Meruba. He says, I'll prove it to you from Nida Daftes, which we've talked about. Nida Daftes was talking about the discussion about saying that a woman who turns up Tamei should be Tamei retroactively, and all the Taharas that she dealt with should be Tamei, and so on. Right? Sheikah Da'amri, we gave a couple of different approaches, but one was Taharos Afish, that this person had been involved in a lot of different Taharos, a lot of different section, I don't know what it was, dishes, you know, that she had. Actually, different quantities of Taharos. Sheperusha Shenaga Pa'amim Rabos, she touched many times various Tahar items. Umitstarfim Lehechashev, Hefsin Meruba, and they are combined to be considered Hefsin Meruba in that Gemara. Asha Kol Negia Timarak Ma'at, but each contact only was Mitame, a small amount. And we don't say, well, in that case, we should view it as Hefsin Mu'at. So he says, this proves that we don't work with the idea that of looking at each one individually. And then he says, V'tamua ma'od ma'shachideish b'tshuvas ha'bikiva eger simen mem gimel. D'keben d'kol ka'ar b'fnei atmo eina hesem ruba eina mitzdarefas le'eina mitzdarfos le'chashev hesem ruba machmas ribi ha'ka'aros. He says, I'm really surprised at Rabbi Akiva Eger with his idea that you're going to count each one individually. D'me nida ra'yim afuresh hashem mitzdarfa le'chashev hesem ruba, like he just said. I can prove it from nida. It's one thing to work with Shabbos Kufnun Dalet. That was the discussion about the animal with the kalim on it, and the stuff's going to fall off of the stuff is going to fall off of the animal, and therefore you're allowed to put the karmuksasos and violate the concern of a bitul kli mehechano and so on. He says there. We permit where it has glass on it. Even though each kli is not hefsa meruba, so I might have used that as my proof against Rabbi Akiva Eger. He says no. Yesh lomar, you could answer that one. Rabbi Akiva Eger could answer that and say mishum daharbe kelim ein bekrach echad, because the many kelim are in one bag on the animal. Then you can call hefsed meruba because of this thing that's going to be broken all collectively all at once. So he says, I can't prove it from that gemara. And so too in the Gemara in Beitza, Shemachshav Mishil and Peros Hefse Meruba, where they talk about where you have the Peros on the roof, the Tua, the grain is on the roof, and it's going to rain, and there's going to be a great loss, and therefore I'm allowed to do the Tircha of lowering the stuff into the house. Afshar Kol Pri Bifnei Atzmo Ein Bo Hefsed Meruba, right? Each unit of grain is not Hefsed Meruba. Yesh Lomar Shimachma Shakol Arei Menachshev Estavar Echad BePeros. But still, each pile of wheat could be called a Hefsa, and therefore the pile of wheat is Hefsed Meruba. Avol Mehad Nida Vaday Raya. But the Nida case for sure works as proof. The Mitzdarfin that they combine Lahachshev Hefsed Meruba the Lo Rabbi Akiva Eger. We'll consider it Hefsed Meruba against the position of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Follow?
Our source from Hefsa Meruba, what was the source from destroying the bias again? From the Mitzorah. That was one of our tests.
Right, Ufinu Es HaBayis. So that was the position of Rabbi Meir, that the reason why the Torah says that you should clear the stuff out of the house is to teach you that Torah Chasam Amisha Yisrael.
Isn't that multiple cases? Meaning I'm having trouble rationalizing Rabbi Akiva Eger here if that's one of the Mekoros. Meaning the source of the Behem is also.
Right. But I think not, because I think because there it's everything he has.
But it's still. So you're saying that
it's a unit.
Individual things that would be expensive would, meaning you should be machalic between things that are expensive and things that are cheap.
So what would he do with a Fino as Habayas? Someone ought to tell him school isn't over and all these kids are going to come in for their bags. Alright. It's an interesting question. I think you can look at it more collectively there, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Rabbi Akiva, Eger was saying he's doing so. You think he might look at that as one?
Well, I don't think he can't argue with that case. You know?
The question is, Ramosha seemed to accommodate multiple units in a single bag, and said that that was Mitzarev thing. But whether that's like a physical tseruf or like a cumulative ideal tseruf, I don't really know.
Well, I think
know.
It's a physical tseruf.
But then, so maybe the bias would join them together. I'd like it to see.
Right.
Like
I don't think he could. Right. He can't reject it now that we've used that as one of our principal sources. Unless he's going to say it's a machlokas between that one and Menachos, which we talked about. But yeah. The second case that we wanted to get to, out of really the four overall, is the case of something that is common, where it's individually not hefsid merubah, right? But it comes up all the time, and if you're going to paskin this way, it will cause hefsid merubah over time. Or, alternatively, something that they deal with this, is the case of three people who come in simultaneously with unique shilos. And each item alone is not hefsid merubah, but it will be hefsid merubah among the three of them. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger, along with sources brought in the Piskei Tshuva and source Yud, take the position that that it's not hefsid merubah. Take a look at Yud, where the Piskei Tshuva quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, Vayim Mitshuva is Mora Gola, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sof Siman Mem Gimel, Shekasav Shehu Masupach Bekama in Yonim, the Mekilim Behefsid Merubah. He, Rabbi Kiva Eger, said he's in doubt about various cases in which the world generally is lenient for Hefsid Merubah. Ubeinyan Dechadah Behem Aloha Behefsid Merubah, Rak Beis Vegimel, in a case where one animal is Hefsid Merubah, but is not Hefsid Merubah, but two or three would be. Havi Hefsid Merubah, where two or three would be Hefsid Merubah. In Zel Mikri Hefsid Merubah Olo. So he then goes through this and he quotes all sorts of achronim, and he says it's clear from this. He says it's obvious that even if all of them came simultaneously to the Mara Hara, and he had to rule on all of them, the treifa, that it is in fact a treifa, lo havi hefsid merubah. It would not be hefsid merubah, ve'ein lahakel, and one should not be lenient. That's the position that the Piskei Tshuva takes, quoting Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, once again, the majority of Achronim disagree and say it is hefsid merubah. So the Das Kedoshim is one of them. This is Rav Rambam Chech, who I mentioned earlier. He is Mekel. If you take a look, I brought it in source Yud Aleph. You can find this on Hebrew books. It's there. He says, Uba Beitzin Karushim. The case of Beitzin Karushim I explained in brackets there. It's talking about where you shechted a bird, and inside you found congealed eggs. So they hadn't, something is clearly wrong. And the question is, do I view that as a sign that the bird itself was a trefa? That's the question. So he says, Mistama Gamken Yesh Kilkul Be'im. We assume that not only is there something wrong with the eggs, but there's something wrong with the bird. Umekilim Beli Hafsid Maruba. And we are lenient even without great loss. Why? Since this happens all the time, apparently you get shilos on this all the time, maybe if you live in a community where people have their own birds. So he says, that's hefsid merubah. V'lefamim, or ulefamim, nish'alan akama b'vas achas. Sometimes you get this question about like a whole bunch of birds simultaneously. Ulefamim yachad ashir ve'avyo, and sometimes the wealthy person and the needy person will come to you simultaneously. And for the needy person, since we say hefsid merubah is subjective, this is going to be hefsid merubah. That's the idea. Actually, it should be vili from him, but in any case, that's the
that's the question of both lakula or one lakula
yeah. He's going to go he's going to go lakula across the board, because if I'm lachumra for the usher, then I'm going to have to be lachumra for the avion.
That's subjective.
So he is saying that because you can't give the same, you can't. Once I rule this way, that when Beitz and Krushim are found, it isn't that each one is going to come to me for a psak. They're going to say the rabbi has paskin, the Beitz and Krushim are a trefa, and that's it. And now the Ani is going to have to follow that too. It's not, that seems to be his assumption.
You can't have individualism stuff.
So apparently, I think on a practical level, I think that's difficult.
Yeah, and also socially, you can't. It's very difficult to issue second for usher and then even usher and Ani.
Yeah.
Who's going to follow?
Should pull back really stingy.
Yeah.
The Darchei Horah. I love now, and I actually ordered it off of Hebrew Books. You know, they have the service where if it's an out-of-print sefer, then you can print it off of Hebrew Books, and it's actually relatively cheap.
They'll print it for you?
They print it for you. I mean, you're paying, but you're paying cost, and the shipping is relatively cheap.
Is it stapled, or they bind it?
It's bound, but it's a cheap binding. But I've done it a few times with them. So I fell in love with Derech HaHorah in the course of preparing Hesed Merubah. He's great. So the Derech HaHorah here says also that you should be Megill, and he quotes Yerushalmi and Trumos, which I actually didn't bring here on the sheet. I see. I was going to bring it. All right. It's Yerushalmi Trumos, Perigud Halacha Hey, to prove that where it's a loss for the Klal, will be Megill. It's also brought in the Stech Temed in Hey, letter Hey, Tzadi. The Das Torah also is lenient on this. That's where Shwadron, who I've quoted before from his intro to Trefos, Lamed Ches, he quotes the Maharashtam, he quotes the Panim Eros, he quotes the Isser V'Heter to show common cases are Hefsid Merubah. So I brought you the Isser V'Heter because the Isser V'Heter is such a serious sefer. So in Source Yud Beis, he says, Ubi mehem hayu bodkin afilu vada grisa lefi harashva Mordechai. The point is not the case of Drisa that he's talking about. The point is that he comments that there's a certain type of a trefa which in their day they stopped checking because they didn't know. They were not expert in how to check it. The Aval Vaday, but then he continues in the next Se'if to say, Aval Vaday Kishiyesh is a Safik Bereya, when there's a doubt in one of the lungs. Besirchos, or Babuos, the blotches on the lungs, the lesions on the lungs, the bubbles, Imchud Basrachit. Beki Agavna Hai Shchiach Tfei, in such a case, it is very common. Vein Serach Bediko Kokach, and it doesn't require so much checking. Someone who understands should look at it. And he says, we're expert. Our chacham are expert, our butchers are expert. The gam, and further he says, since it is so common, that will be hefsed merubah if we were going to be strict every time. Even though, once again, it's not, it's each individual one is not necessarily hefsed merubah. Collectively, you would create a problem. Now, this is a unique kind of a Hefsim Merubah case, because this isn't a case where there are Machmir and Mekilim, and it's not really a true case of, of Safek, a Gezerah of, we aren't expert, therefore we're not going to check. And he says, don't make that Gezerah in a case that's Hefsim Merubah, if it will be Hefsim Merubah for the collective. The third type of a case that we're dealing with is the case of partners who own an item collectively, such that if you're going to trafe it up, then it's a hefsed merubah in terms of the object, but each partner will only suffer a hefsed muat. Right? Each one owns shares in this item. So the Darchei Tshuva, Lamed Aleph, Yud Aleph, it's the second volume of Darchei Tshuva for if you... try to get like off of Hebrew books, it's Darchei Tshuva Beis, quotes a work called the Shut Sefer Yehoshua, which I have to admit I was not familiar with, who says that, I'm familiar with Sefer Yehoshua, but I wasn't aware that he wrote Tshuvos, but he says that it's actually gauged by each individual's loss, and the Hisrei Tshuva supports this as well. I brought it here in Sefer Gimel. It says, and it could be the same rule is true, even if it's one animal, the same as the previous chumros that he gave, that we don't call it hefsed merubah, that we quoted before. He says, even if it's one animal, and it's owned by partners, it's valuable enough that if it was owned by one person, it would be called hefsed merubah. But now it's of partners, don't be lenient, because it's not hefsed merubah for each of them individually. However, once again, Achronim seem to disagree and say that this is Hefsed Merubah. The Stech Chemed quotes a series of sources. It's that same Stech Chemed mentioned a moment ago in A, Sif Tzadi. He quotes the... First of all, he says, look back at our main sources for Hefsed Merubah. Remember the Gemara in Menachos talked about the Lechem HaPanim and the fact that Hashem said you can buy wheat instead of buying solas because Atarah Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael. But this is brought out of the communal funds. Right? If you were to spread the cost of buying wheat versus buying soles, buying flour, among all of Klal Yisrael, it's not a hefsed merubah. You know, everybody's chipping in less than a pruta, and then collectively you end up with the soles. But, so he says that's one proof. The Darchei HaHorah in Beis Yutes says the same thing, based on the Mishnah in Shvius that we talked about the first week, about working the ground around the trees, where they didn't distinguish between whether the trees are owned by one person or owned by multiple people. we still had this heter for hafsid. The Darchei Ara also points out that all of our Gemara cases, not all of them, but a lot of them, are communal expenditures. Right? In Rosh Hashanah, talking about the gold for the mouthpiece of the shofar. Right? Yuma Lamites, Yuma Memdalid, talking about the kilfi that you're using, the box that you're using to hold the lots. These are all out of communal funds. And yet, we're willing to say, Harachas Amonim Shal Yisrael. Or in the machta, the shovel that's used to get the coals off of the mizbeach. So I don't care about splitting it among many people. And then the Darchei Tshuva quotes a sefer called the Tosfos Yerushalayim, which you can find on HebrewBooks.org, who quotes Yerushalmi and Avodah Zarah that says it straight out. It's source Yedalad. Story regarding a boat. Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Chanina said, "Maisa b'sfina achas mishal beis Rabbi." There was a boat from the house of Rabbi. Shayu b'yosem mishlosh meyos chavios. It had more than 300 barrels. Ubadak Rabbi es kulhon v'lama. Oh, sorry. The story is. Let me just explain. It's dealing with a fish issue. The problem is that in order to say that this is a kosher fish, you have to be able to see the head and the spine of this particular fish. So Rebbe checks all of the barrels. Volomatza ela achas sharashim bashizaros shalak hayomen. He only found that in one of the barrels were the heads and spines of the fish intact. Shizaros is like a shedra, the spine. The hitir is kulam, but he permitted all of the fish in all the barrels. So Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, Amar Rabbi Asi, Makshila, Mistabra, Delo, Osa, Chavis, Hemuteres, Ushar, Kol, Chavios, Yehayasuros. He says, doesn't it make sense to say that only that one barrel should be fine? All the other barrels should be treif. Ela al yedei ila. But the Gemara's answer is yes, but he was just looking for a reason to say mutter. That was why. It really wasn't because he had found it in one that he was going to permit all of them. That was just an excuse. But really, he was going to say mutter, saying you don't need to see the Rosh and the Shadra for these fish. That was his real position. Because he was going to be lenient. The Gemara then gives you a second case. Zivinta is kavras. There's some debate about the addition in the Rishami there. But just to make it simple, there was a barrel of locusts, of grasshoppers, that also, the same idea, that had been corrupted such that you couldn't check the signs on the grasshoppers to confirm that they were kosher grasshoppers. Shra Rabbi Chagai l'Rabbi Babar Zavda. Rabbi Chagai asked Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amarlei ein davar shel rabim nesar. He says, you will not prohibit that which is owned by the community. It's a collective loss. So I might have argued, go with each individual. No, if it's of the rabim, then we're going to be making. Got it? Last case.
We're kind of just going through different permutations of combining hefsa merubah. People at different times.
But that's the basic Mikdash case. Even though for sure the Gemara there in Yuma says twice, it's Mona Shel Yisrael, there's Torah Chasa. Why in general are we saying it's Shel Yisrael? Why aren't we saying it's Shel Kodesh? It's Hektish. Why don't we say it's Hashem's money enough? And why are we calling it Israel's money? That we even get to the point where we're saying it's collective.
Because God doesn't lose anything by using it. In other words, in the event that God runs out of money, he's going to get more from us. So it's really Mona Shel Yisrael. You know? There's no other thing towards which Mamon Shel Kodesh was going to go. Mamon Shel Yisrael, on the other hand, if I use it for this, then I can't use it for food. Yeah. One might argue that if I am out of money, then I'm going to go back to God for it. But that's another story. The last of the major cases to look at is a case that we discussed briefly in our first week. And that is the problem of the vendor. Right? I am a butcher. And I bring my big animal that I just shechted to the rabbi, and I say, what do I do? It looks like it might not be no good. He says, well, it will be a hesem merubah for me to declare it treif. I say, great. I turn around and sell it to a whole bunch of people who have no such heter. Why am I able to do that? That's the question. So in looking at this, I saw reference the shach, which I think is very worth quoting in its entirety. The shach at the end of Yerudea Rish Mem Beis has a discussion of psak, which I've quoted before in this series. But in the end of that discussion, he has klalim, general rules for psak. So here in Tezvav, take a look at what he says. Kishem she'asur lahatir es ha'asur, kach asur le'asur es ha'mutar. Just like it is prohibited to permit that which is asur, it is prohibited to prohibit that which is mutar. If it's mutar, you are not allowed to tell people it is asur. Afilu b'shal, except the following, right? But Afilu b'shalove kochavim, doesn't matter if it's owned by Jew or non-Jew. And even in a case where there would be no loss in telling him that. He says the reason is because, as a general rule, if you will be strict in this case, it will lead to a kula somewhere else. You don't realize all the repercussions of what you do. And even if, based on what you can see, no kula will result, right, 100 steps down the line, it's going to happen. Lefichach, therefore, im hutzrach lesar machmas safek o machmas chumra bazeh she'ena iser barur kashemesh. Therefore, if you have to prohibit something because of a doubt or because of some chumra where it's not entirely clear why it's aser, tzarech hamora lomar she'ena iser barur ela she'anu mechoyavim lahachmir. He has to say that. He has to say it's not so clear that this is aser, but I think we have to be strict. That's what he wants you to tell people. Which really today is a very difficult thing to tell people. Right? Someone comes to you and says, am I allowed to do X? And you say, well, it's not really usher, but I think that I have to say usher anyway. Because of a suffix. Boy, oh boy. But that's what he says.
How to win friends and influence people.
Indeed. Well, he'll influence people, but not the way you expected.
Yeah.
But then he concludes with a part that's relevant for us. He says, if you're permitting something only because he says, you must say so. In terms of this discussion of the merchant, so the Chasam Sofer deals with this. The Chasam Sofer was asked about the following case. There was a community in which they had no wine. If he said Aser, they would have no wine. So he was matir the wine, because of Hesed Meruba. So someone asked him, can I use this wine for Kiddush? In other words, the fact that you're matir it only because of Hesed Meruba, maybe it really shouldn't be used for Kiddush. Maybe I should use bread instead for Kiddush.
What was the issue that it could be?
I don't remember the story. Yeah. It had to do with the Ayin Nesach, but I don't remember the specifics. So he says, as far as what he desires to know regarding this wine that's only permitted because of Hesed Meruba, maybe you shouldn't use it for Kiddush and benching. Maybe you should use bread for Kiddush and bench without a cup. So he says, I've already written elsewhere that in such a case, it's only mutter for the person with the wine and his household. Why should other people buy from this person who got a heter? He's not dealing with a case where all the wine is no good, but dealing with a case where it's just this person's wine. It is almost definite that you are obligated to tell them that this is Hefsed Meruba wine. And if he doesn't inform them, it could actually be reversed as Mekach Tos, because they didn't know what they were getting. That's the position of the Chasam Sofer. So he says, you can't sell it. In this case, he actually let them use the wine, because he said there's no other wine in the town. What greater Hefsed Meruba is there if they can't make Kiddush on wine? It's not like they have other options. They have bread, but that's not equivalent as far as he's concerned. But his general point is, you can't sell off something that was mutter to you under Hefsed Meruba to somebody for whom it's not a Hefsed Meruba situation.
The only thing is, the vendor for whom it is Hefsed Meruba, it's only Hefsed Meruba because he can't sell it.
Right. So the Darchei Tshuva in Lamed Aleph Yud Aleph deals with this, and I didn't bring you the sources, I wanted to deal with it outside just in the interest of time, but you can see it in the Darchei Tshuva. He quotes the Daz Kedoshim, who was stumped because he said everybody permits selling it. So the Daz Kedoshim offered two answers. Answer number one was because if you prohibit for the butcher, you're going to drive up the price for the community, and that'll cause Hesed Meruba for the community. That's number one. And number two, he said the butcher is the shaliach of the customers. The Daz Torah himself, in his intro to Trefos, disagrees with the Daz Kedoshim on both points. He says, number one, it's not always going to drive up the price in the community. That's a big assumption. It depends on the case. Number two, how can you be a shaliach for new customers, rare customers? Even if we could argue, and there are sources to say, that he is the shaliach, the people who buy from him regularly. But everybody else? The Da'as Torah himself is lenient in a case where, going back to the Kivager's distinction, where we are really following the true halacha with the kula. Where the general practice that we're machmir is like the machmir, but really the halach is that we're makil. He also offers a second leniency if you're selling it to people who generally are not so makbid. He talks about people who don't ordinarily insist on getting hot. So he says you can sell them other stuff, even where the shaila is not a glass shaila. You'd be able to sell it to them. He says you could be makil. And in general, the poskim, other than this chasam sofer, tend to be on the lenient side and to permit selling it to people. Although really it's unclear how this works beyond the case that he mentions where the true halacha is to be makil. It's a funny thing. I saw one other note just to mention it. I didn't bring you the sources on it because it's fairly straightforward. But if you want to look in Yabia Omer Vav Yeridea Talid, you see him discuss it there. What if the rabbi rules that it's Hefsid Maruba for somebody, and then that person becomes wealthy? Is he able to still use it? Or vice versa? What if he says that it's not Hefsid Maruba because the person is wealthy, but then his situation deteriorates? So the position of Rav Avadya, and also the Alkat Yosef brings us in the Kitzur Yeridea Tzadiches Hei, is that you go lenient both ways. Meaning, if he becomes more wealthy, he's still allowed to rely on the Hefsid Maruba. And if he becomes more poor, more indigent, he can go back to the rabbi and say, well, does it have some Maruba now? He would be allowed to be makil both ways. Ayin Shem and the Tshuva.
Aren't you being makil in the second case when you become poor? Can you kind of ask the Shaila again, and then you're
going to... Wait, I'm not actually 100% sure that he said ask the Shaila even. If you look in the Sikkum, I remember that he had a Sikkum there at the end of the Tshuva. It's Yibia Omer Vav Yeridea Dalid. So let's see. Right, so he writes at the end. It became more valuable, right? Well, I guess that does mean, though, that you're going back for the shayla. Like, I can't think that you're deciding it yourself. So, yeah, all right, that's fair. But that's the set of cases that I wanted to tackle today. I have one other potential segment to this, to discuss whether, when we say you're makel hefsid maruba, what about other types of sha'as hadchak? It's probably not an hour-long shiur. Maybe we'll do a little bit of that. And then...